Hi, everybody. This is Ernie Harwell with Joe Garagiola. Welcome to the 1963 World Series fourth game, brought to you by
Chrysler Corporation, makers of the new 1964 Plymouth, Chrysler, the Imperial, Dodge, and Dodge Truck. Today, your host is Plymouth.
And by Gillette, maker of the Gillette Slim Adjustable Razor and remarkable Super Blue Blade. Extra rich, foamy instant lather. Convenient Right Guard Power Spray Deodorant. And new Sun Up Aftershave for that top of the morning feeling. In appreciation of your continued support, Chrysler and Gillette also bring you the annual Blue Gray football game and the 1964 Rose Bowl game exclusively on NBC. This broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball, solely for the entertainment of our listening audience, and any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express consent of the Commissioner is prohibited. The two starting pitchers already have begun to warm up. Whitey Ford, representing the New York Yankees, came out about 3 or 4 minutes ago, and Sandy Koufax, who will be on the mound for Los Angeles, has just begun his warm-up tosses. And on this bright, sunny afternoon in Southern California, one large question confronts all of baseball. Will this fourth game of the 1963 World Series be the final game of the series? Or to put it another way, can the Dodgers win today and end the Yankee domination of World Series history? Since 1922, the New York Yankees have dominated the series 6 times. They've swept through their National League opposition in 4 straight games. But today, they are finding out how the other half is felt all this time, as they come into the fourth game with a deficit of no victories and 3 defeats. The Yanks realize if no World Series team has ever rallied from an 0-3 deficit and gone on to win the championship. However, the New Yorkers also know that never has a Yankee team been swept out of a series in 4 straight. They lost a 22 series in 5 games, and there was one tie in that one. And in 1942, after the Yankees won the first game, the Cards took the next 4. But a Yankee team has never spared at the kind of defeat that this 1963 edition would face if the Dodgers win here this afternoon. Certainly, the Dodger fans are looking forward to their heroes breaking the Yankee domination of this afternoon. But the Yankees have a habit, as you know, of winning crucial games. And today, manager Ralph Houk has nominated the all-time World Series winner, the left-hander Whitey Ford, to keep the New Yorkers in business. Pitching for the Dodgers will be Sandy Koufax, the stylish left-hander who beat Ford in the first game when he set a new World Series record in strikeouts. So this will be a rematch of the starting pitchers of game number 1. Koufax, during the regular season, won 25 and lost 5. A hard-throwing left-hander with a fine overhand curveball. Whitey Ford, during the regular season, won 24 and lost 7. He has more variety of stuff than his pitching rival and, of course, has a great deal more experience. Koufax in the series has won 1 and lost 1. In his series history, he lost to the White Sox in the 5th game of the 1959 World Series, and then he beat the Yankees 5-2 in the 1st game of this current series. Whitey Ford has a 10-6 record in series competition, and he is 3-3 with 1 no decision in 7 series starts against the Dodgers. Whitey has won at least 1 game in 7 of his previous 9 series, failing to win only in 1953 and 1958. The weather is great again, no question about it. A little warmer, I believe, than it was here at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles yesterday afternoon. But it couldn't be any better, and we've got another capacity crowd on hand to watch these 2 World Series rivals go at it in Los Angeles. The lineups, there are a couple of changes in the New York lineup. Manager Ralph Houk will use Hector Lopez, his very fine utility man and a right-hand batter, in right field. Roger Maris dressed for action today, but he is not in the starting lineup. And manager Walt Austin of Los Angeles is using Frank Howard, the big right-hand batting right fielder, in right, replacing the left-hand hitting Ron Fairley. The lineup in their entirety will go this way. For the visiting New York Yankees, it'll be Tony Kubek leading off, and he'll be at shortstop. That's Kubek at shortstop. Batting second and playing second base, the veteran Bobby Richardson. Richardson will be at second base. The number three hitter for New York is Tom Tresh, the switch-hitting left fielder. Tresh in left. Mickey Mantle, the cleanup man, he's in center field. That's Mantle batting number four and playing in center. Elston Howard, the number five hitter, he is the catcher. Howard is catching. Then it's Hector Lopez in right field. Lopez is in right. He's followed by Joe Pepitone, the first baseman, and the number seven batter. Pepitone is at first base. Then it's Cleet Boya batting number eight and playing third. Boya at third base, followed by the Yankee pitcher, Whitey Ford. For the Los Angeles Dodgers, Maury Wills will be at shortstop, and he'll lead off. Jim Gilliam will bat number two. That's Gilliam at third base, batting second. Willie Davis in center field, hitting number three for the Dodgers. Davis in center. Tommy Davis is the left fielder and the cleanup hitter. Tommy Davis in left. Frank Howard, the right fielder, bats number five. Howard is in right. Then the former Yankee, the Dodger first baseman, Bill Scarron, is the number six hitter. That's Scarron at first base. Bill is followed by the catcher, John Roseborough. Roseborough is catching and batting number seven. Dick Krzyzewski batting number eight, and he's playing second base. Krzyzewski at second base. And on the mound will be the left-hander, Sandy Koufax. He'll be batting number nine. The fourth game of the 1963 World Series is being brought to you from Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles.
Get up and go, Plymouth, Mr. Go, go, Plymouth. Put your foot down on the floor. You'll never know driving till you go out driving in a Plymouth 64. You thought you knew beauty till a brand new beauty came to town to show you more. And when you're not out sparking, you will find her parking in the driveway by your door. Get up and go, Plymouth, get to know Plymouth, try a Plymouth 64. Get up and go, Plymouth, sister, go, go, Plymouth from the very day you do. You got to get up and go, car. Mr. and no car gonna get up and go like a Plymouth will go when it's get up and going for you.
The Get Up and Go Plymouth for 64 is on display now. Be sure to see it at your nearest Plymouth dealer showroom. You'll be glad you did.
Well, the color guard has made its way toward the center field area. The two pitchers are still warming up down below us, and in just a moment or so, we'll be having our national anthem. It'll be sung this afternoon by Eddie Fisher. The Dodgers with a 3-0 lead over the New York Yankees here in the fourth game of the World Series as the Yankees try to salvage a victory. And the Yankees depending on their veteran left-hander Whitey Ford. Sandy Koufax coming back for his second turn and trying to win his second victory of the series. By the way, the official scorers in the World Series are Lou Hatter of Baltimore, Frank Finch of Los Angeles, and Len Schechter of New York. They vote on various decisions on scoring plays. In fact, yesterday they had one play, the ball hit to Richardson, where there was a split vote. Generally, they are unanimous on their decisions, but sometimes they have to vote, and that happened yesterday on the ball hit to Richardson. Koufax, you remember, struck out 15 in the first game. And will have a chance to set a World Series record if he can come up with another big strikeout effort here this afternoon. The umpires are now making their way through the gate, which is right behind home plate, for the pregame conference with the two managers, Walt Austin and Ralph Houk. The managers coming out with their batting orders to exchange. And the umpires and the managers to go over once again the ground rules here at Dodger Stadium. We're happy to be here to bring this one to you as another NBC Radio Network exclusive sports presentation. The Yankee bullpen group is headed down now to the bullpen, hoping that they won't be needed for activity this afternoon. And we're awaiting, in a moment, the announcement of the national anthem. The umpiring conference is breaking up down below. The two managers head back to their respective dugouts. The Yankee dugout on the first base side here in Dodger Stadium, and the Dodger dugout on the third base side. Shag Crawford will umpire behind the plate. Paparella, Gorman, and Knapp will be on the bases. Benzon and Rice will be down the two foul lines. Now, here's the announcement by PA man John Ramsey here at Dodger Stadium. In position, the Dodgers as yet have not taken their defensive positions. They'll be breaking out of that dugout momentarily now. Sandy Koufax has quite a record here in this ballpark. He's won 11 and lost one in 1963 in this park. Tough man anywhere, but has been especially tough in Dodger Stadium. Championship teams from Sandlot Baseball here and the American Legion champions. They have the battery out there. Coming to toss the ball to his catcher, and that ceremony has been concluded. And now we expect to see the Dodgers come out of the dugout any moment. The leading hitter in this World Series right now is Tommy Davis, along with Scourin, both hitting at a 500 pace. Davis has the most hits. He has six. Rosemora and Scourin have three RBIs to pace the two teams in that department, although the series as a whole has certainly belonged to the pitchers. The Yankees' leading hitter is Hector Lopez, who is starting in right field this afternoon. Hector has two hits for four trips, and both of those have been doubled. The only man with more than one RBI for the Yankees is Tommy Trash, and he has two. Well, there go the Dodgers to take the lead. The Dodgers have taken the diamond now, and we pause 10 seconds for station identification.
Get on the ball and mix with the best. Serve world-famous Saratoga Vichy. Saratoga Vichy brings out the best in any highball. Get Saratoga Vichy in the bright yellow label today. WGY Schenectady.
It's the way the National League champions will line up on defense. It'll be Jim Gilliam at third base. Maury Wills will be at shortstop. Dick Krzyzewski at second. Bill Scourin stationed at first base. In left field, it's Tommy Davis. Willie Davis is in center field for Los Angeles, and Dick Frank Howard is out in right. John Roseborough to do the catching, and Sandy Koufax on the mound, the big left-hander. Now, once again, we see the story of two fellas who grew up around the New York area, Sandy Koufax against Whitey Ford in a World Series battle. Sandy won the first one in New York in the opening game. Tony Kubek will lead off for the Yankees. It's our pleasure to introduce again Joe Garagiola.
Thank you very much, Ernie. Sandy Koufax against Whitey Ford. Both great pitchers, both with different styles. Koufax with a great fastball, a great curveball, and change of speed. Whitey Ford with about 15 different pitches. Koufax is ready. Kubek waits. The first pitch of the ball game is a curveball. It's low and it's ball one. With this background, Koufax coming directly overhand, it gives you the feeling you might be hitting a little bit uphill. Here's the pitch by Koufax. Swung on and fouled back, and it's one ball and one strike. Koufax's curveball, a big breaking curveball. The fancy name is overhanded curveball. One we used to call it was a drop. 1-1 pitch. Swung on. Foul tip, strike two. One ball, two strikes. Looks like Kubek is just intent on trying to get the bat on the ball. He's not really swinging hard, trying to spray that ball maybe up the middle or towards left center field. The defense is shifted that way. Tommy Davis in left field guards the line. Willie Davis is over in left center. A lot of room in right center. Here's the 1-2 pitch by Koufax. Foul tip, and it got Shaq Crawford. He fires one out to Koufax. Shaq Crawford of the National League is behind the plate. Joe Paparella of the American League is at first. Tom Gorman, National League, is at second. And Larry Knapp, the umpire, at third base from the American League. Here's the 1-2 pitch again by Koufax. Curveball struck him out. Kubek down swinging. In the first game, Kubek struck out twice. Koufax opens the ball game by striking him out, and here is Bobby Richardson. And this little guy was the yardstick the Yankees used in measuring the ability of Koufax, because Bobby Richardson struck out 22 times all during the American League season. Koufax got him three times in the opening game. Here's the first pitch by Sandy. It's high, and it's ball one. The left field foul line is John Rice of the American League. Down the right field foul line, National League umpire Tony Venzon. Six umpires working as usual during the World Series. Richardson takes it high, and it's outside. It's ball two. Two balls and no strikes. John Roseborough, the catcher, says that Sandy Koufax can really pour that fire. He says that fastball comes on you rather sudden. 2-0 pitches, a fastball right down the middle. And boy, you watch that Koufax throw that fastball, or listen to it hitting Roseboro's mitt, and then watch a curveball, you can see why ball players run for broadcast booths. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Swung on and hit right through. High fastball. When Koufax first came up, he was a wild left-hander. He's reared back and fired, and if it stayed in the park, it was a moral victory. But he's been able to contain that stuff, and he can hit that strike zone. Here he comes. Inside, low, and it's ball three. Full count. Talking to a former Dodger great, Dolph Camilli. Boy, he's a catcher with this club. Talking about how Koufax was able to keep that speed when he gained his control. Swung on and fouled off. A lot of times when a fellow's a hard thrower and rear back and fire him guy, when he does get control, he has to sacrifice some of that speed in order to get control. But not Koufax. He's really got two speeds, fast and faster. Here's the 3-2 pitch. Swung on, popped up. John Roseboro off with the mask. He's got room under the ball, makes the catch. Two away, and it brings up Tom Thresh. Fourth game of the 1963 World Series, another NBC Radio Network exclusive sports presentation from Dodger Stadium. This is the big one for the Dodgers. This is the one that you shoot for when you begin spring training. Thresh batting right-handed, takes a curveball strike. One strike, no balls. Koufax, ready. And here's the pitch. Outside, just missed. You can hear that crowd, ooh and ah. And Roseboro, crouching down low, low target. Koufax delivers. Swung on and missed. Strike two. One ball, two strikes, two outs. Top half of the first inning. Nobody on. Koufax ready. The pitch. Swung on. And missed. Got him out. 1-2-3 for the Yankees in the top half of the first. And so at the middle of the first inning, the score is Yankees nothing, Dodgers nothing.
Can you help me? I'm trying to find out about this Chrysler Certified Car Care program.
I would jump up in the air with pleasure to.
You are a mechanic?
For sure, harumph and humbug. I am an auto specialist, a technician extraordinaire, a diagnostician with hands like a surgeon and the eye of an eagle.
Yes, but what can this certified car care do for me?
Are you pulling my entire body? It's the Chrysler Motors Car Health Plan, a physical checkup periodically designed to prolong the life of your car and keep it running in pinkety-pink shape with factory parts and equipment. So that you can jaunty jolly on all the turnpikes with a song in your heart and a smile on your speedometer.
Certified Car Care. Chrysler Motors Economical Car Health Plan. Specially trained mechanics using factory-approved parts and equipment. Certified Car Care by men who sell and service the Plymouth, Dodge, Chrysler, and the Imperial. Take advantage of it.
Elston Howard fires that ball on the second base. Richardson to Koufax to Boyer. Maury Wills gets set. He'll bat right-handed against Whitey Ford. Maury Wills. Boyer shortens up at third base. Kubek and Richardson straight away. The outfield not too deep. And straight away. Whitey Ford. The left-hander's ready. Here's the first pitch to Wills. Wills takes it low and inside. It's ball one. He's shortened up as if to bunt. Ford, a pitcher who has a good fastball, curveball, slider, changes speeds, and can get that ball over. Low. Two balls, no strikes. Wills takes a look at Reeser. He's pretty much on his own, this little leadoff man. Here's the 2-0 pitch by Whitey. Strike. Caught that outside corner, and it's 2-1. Whitey Ford, ready. Wills waits the pitch. Swung on and fouled off, out of play, and the count goes 2-2. Ford uses that Satchel Paige theory of pitching, keeping that ball as far away from the bat as possible and in that strike zone. No, it sounds impossible, but that Paige did it all the time, and Ford has done a real good job of it. Not an overpowering type pitcher. As he's often said, I just as soon throw three pitches and get three outs rather than go for the strikeout. He's a discount house pitcher. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Low just missed, and it's a full count. 3-2. Joe Becker coaching at first base. Pete Reeser coaching at third base. Here's the 3-2 pitch by Whitey Ford. He walked in. And now the battle is on. Whitey Ford with that real good move. Ford with a great move. When you talk about moves to first base for pickoff plays, there'll be Ford, Warren Spahn, a Roger Craig, and Art Mahaffey. They always say that a good move is a half balk move, and one of the best squelches I ever heard, they claim it's a balk, and the umpire said it wasn't, and the guy said, well, at least a half a balk. He said, all right, I'll give him halfway between first and second. Wills leads off. Gilliam waits. There goes Wills. The ball is bunted in the air. Elston Howard makes the play. They've got a double play. Howard flips the Pepitone, and Wills is doubled up. Elston Howard very wisely waited for Pepitone to get back, and it was kind of a little bit of a race between Maury Wills, who did not give up and raced back to the bag, but he was a dead duck as Howard came up with the pop bunt by Gilliam, flipped to Pepitone. It's a double play, and here is Willie Davis. Two men out, nobody on. Willie Davis, the left-hand hitter, and Whitey Ford wants a new baseball.
You know, that was Pepitone running backwards against Maury Wills running forward.
That'd be something to tell the grandchildren about. He had a little bit of an edge on him, though, I believe, a few feet. Willie Davis waits. Whitey Ford delivers. It's high and it's outside, and it's 4-1. Cleet Boyer at third base, he doesn't trust anybody. He's in tight. He's on the grass. All these Dodgers, boy, they come with the brand new inner soles. They're ready to run. Swung on and foul back. The count, 1-1. Whitey Ford gets that new baseball, and he rubs it up. You'd be surprised how sensitive those pitchers' fingers are when they get those baseballs. They can feel as if the leather is tighter than others. The seams might be a little bit higher. The stitches maybe not as tight. And they've got to have that ball feel just right. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Curveball goes all the way back to the screen. And it's 2-1. One year when they were talking about the rabbit ball, the late Tiny Bonham, his fingers were so sensitive that he said he could feel the heartbeat of the rabbit. 2-1. Now they want to look at the baseball again. Shags Crawford really getting the workout. He's made more pitches than both pitchers. He's got a pretty good arm, too. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Swung on and missed, and it's strike two. Two balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. Nobody on, nothing. We're in the bottom half of the first inning. Fourth game of the 1963 World Series. Here comes Whitey Ford again. Swung on and tapped foul. Right into the Yankee dugout, and manager Ralph Houck fields the ball, flips it out of play. The major.
Up
Both these managers, boy, I tell you, they just play a good, sound game of baseball. They give the fellas a ball, they say, here, play. They don't try to dazzle you with any strategy. They try to just score more runs than the other fellow, and that's what this game's all about. Here's the 2-2 pitch by Whitey Ford. Sidearm, bouncing ball foul right to Joe Becker. And Joe Becker throws it out of play. Another new baseball put in play. Shags Crawford's out of baseball. He's declared bankruptcy already. We'll get some more for you, Shags. Here comes the ball boy with a new supply. Get that ball boy in shape the way we're going. Two balls, two strikes to count. We're in the bottom half of the first inning. Whitey Ford is ready. Here he comes again. Sidearm, swung on and hit foul. Joe Becker has to do a dance down that first base coaching box. Joe Becker really did a dance. He got out of the way. The way he danced, he may have missed a lesson or two. Two balls, two strikes. Willie Davis really battling up there. Whitey Ford getting his sign from Elston Howard, taking a little bit more time now. Now he's ready. Here he comes again. Swung on and popped up. Foul ball behind the plate. Elston Howard coming back near the screen. It's out of play. Shags Crawford and Elston Howard really had quite a race. Shags trying to get out of the way. That's one of the real tough things for an umpire. Now Shags has something to say to Elston. I'll tell you, if that big Howard would have hit Crawford, he'd have been the victim of a hit-and-run accident. He'd have been leaving it, Crawford. That Howard, a big guy. Set once again now. Two balls and two strikes. Here comes Whitey Ford. Fastball way outside, and it's a full count. And Willie Davis has battled away at three balls and two strikes. Maury Wills opened with a walk. Junior Gilliam, in an attempted bunt, popped it in the air. Elston Howard made the play, flipped the Pepitone for the double play, and Willie Davis has been up there battling Whitey Ford. And I say he's been up there a while. Three balls, two strikes. Whitey Ford ready. And here's the payoff pitch. Swung on, foul ball. Cliff Boyer gives it a chase. No chance for a play. Hit that ball off the end of the bat. Bounce into the Dodger dugout. Don Drysdale on the top step of the dugout, hollering at Whitey. Willie Davis is still up there. I tell you, if he was getting paid by the hour, he'd make some money. Three balls, two strikes, sidearm, swung on and missed. He struck him out. Whitey Ford wins the battle. Willie Davis really battled him up there. But Ford gets him on strike, three up and three down. And so at the end of the first inning, the score, the New York Yankees nothing, the Los Angeles Dodgers nothing.
Best all around compact, tops them all again in 64. Best all around value, Valiant is the car that offers more.
Yes, again in 64, Valiant offers more of everything you want in a compact car. Smart new styling, hot performance, economy of operation, and quality engineering by Chrysler Corporation. So if you want the best in compact car driving, plus the satisfaction of big car quality, see and drive the new 64 Valiant at your earliest opportunity.
Best all-around compact, Valiant 64 styled hard to beat. Best all-around compact, best-looking compact on the street, Valiant.
And why wait? Valiant 64 style is standing in your nearest Plymouth Valiant dealer showroom right now. Plan to see it and drive it this week.
Mickey Mantle, Elston Howard, and Hector Lopez in the top half of the second inning. Fourth game of the 1963 World Series from Dodger Stadium. Here's the first pitch by Koufax. Swung on and missed the strike one. Mantle batting right-handed. Everybody deep on Mantle. Here's the pitch by Koufax. It's inside. One ball and one strike. Gilliam back at third. Wills deep. Krasuski near the bag at second. Skarin is deep. The outfield. Davis, Tommy Davis, deep in left. Willie way back in left center. Strike is called over the outside corner. Two strikes, one ball. Koufax's fastball, when he keeps it down low, will tail away from the right-hand hitter. One ball, two strikes. Curveball. High, ball two. The umpires say that he starts his curveball much higher than the average pitcher. And you really have to wait for that ball to break. When you're hitting, I imagine it looks like he's breaking from the top of the flagpole. Here's a 2-2 pitch. High, ball three. Mantle had to go down. Three balls, two strikes. Koufax taking plenty of time. Ready now. Here's the 3-2 pitch. Swung on, fly ball, deep right center field. Elton Howard, Frank Howard going over there and makes the play. Mickey Mantle flies to Frank Howard in right center field, and there is one away, and it brings up Elton Howard. Elston Howard, the Yankee catcher, holds that bat high. Koufax delivers. Swung on and fouled back. Strike one. Hector Lopez, the on-deck hitter. Koufax struck out Howard one time in that record-breaking game he had. Foul back again, a high fastball, and Koufax is quickly out in front with two strikes. Two strikes, no balls. One man out, nothing, nothing. Top of the second. From Dodger Stadium. Koufax ready, the pitch. Misses outside. One ball, two strikes. One of the amazing things about Koufax, when he misses, he just misses. So the pitch really works for him as it sets up the next one. And here it is. Swung on, popped up. A high fly ball, short center field. Willie Davis is coming in under the ball and makes the catch. Whoops. He just wasn't too sure of it. It's a high sky here. It's not an easy sky for the ball players. Once that ball gets up there, you don't have those little clouds to help you. Willie Davis ran Krasuski and Maury Wills off the ball and made the play. So there are two outs, and Hector Lopez is the hitter. Lopez, right-hand hitter, hits that ball a lot to right center and towards the right field line. Curve ball is high, and it's ball one. Koufax changing speeds. Two men out. Nobody on. Here's the pitch by Sandy. Curveball swung on. Foul tip. One ball and one strike. Frank Howard in right field had moved over towards the right field line. He's playing Lopez as if he were a left-handed hitter. Willie Davis is shade over in right center. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Fastball foul back and a strike two. One ball, two strikes. Sandy Koufax against Whitey Ford, the fourth game of the World Series. Another NBC Radio Network exclusive sports presentation. A big ball game. And Koufax is ready, and here's the pitch to Lopez. Swung on, fly ball, center field. Willie Davis is going over. Over, he is there and makes the play. In left center field, Willie Davis got over there. As you can see him almost outrun that ball to make the play. And it's a 1-2-3 inning for the Yankees in the second. And so at the end of 1.5 innings, the score, Yankees nothing, Los Angeles nothing.
Get up and go, Plymouth, Mr. Go, go, Plymouth, put your foot down on the floor. You'll never know who's driving until you go. I'm driving in a Plymouth 64.
Improved This is the year you picked to buy a new car. You picked a beautiful year for a beautiful reason. And that is the 1964 Plymouth. Here's the kind of car that really brightens up your driveway. Here's the kind of car that gives you quality. Quality you can rely on. Yet out on the road, here's a new car for 64 that really has get up and go.
You got the get up and go car. Mister, and no car's gonna get up and go like a Plymouth. So don't let it get up and go and for you.
Why not get up and go see the new 64 Plymouth this week? It's on display right now at all Plymouth dealer showrooms. Your nearest dealer will be happy to give you a test drive and show you the 64 Plymouth's outstanding features.
Bottom half of the second inning, Tommy Davis, Frank Howard, and Moose Scarra. Whitey Ford, the Yankee pitcher, and a left-hander getting his sign. He's ready. Here's the first pitch to Tommy Davis. It's low and it's ball one. Gets by Elstenauer. You know, the reason that they throw out a lot of these baseballs here at Dodger Stadium, the grass has been dyed green, and every time it hits that grass, looks like it's been left over from an Easter egg hunt. One ball to count. Tommy Davis waits. Outside. And it's ball two. Two balls. No strikes. Tommy Davis takes a look at Pete Reeser. This is a pitch controlled by manager Walter Alston, but your fourth place hitter usually turn him loose. He takes it, though, and it's right down the middle, and it's strike one. Two balls, one strike. Nobody on, nobody out. Bottom of the second, nothing, nothing. Tommy Davis waits and Ford delivers. Swung on, right field. Fly ball, Hector Lopez is there, makes the play. And that brings up Frank Howard. Frank Howard. This big guy really put a charge in the one in Yankee Stadium. And since then, they have thrown him a lot of slow pitches, screwballs, and let-up curveballs. And they've been able to contain him. Whitey Ford ready, and here's the pitch. Slow curveball, high ball one. But boy, that takes a little bit of courage to throw this fella a slow ball when you're only 60 feet, 6 inches from him. Frank Howard waits, and here's Ford. Another slow curve. Misses, and it's ball two. He takes a look at Pete Reeser. Reeser just kind of walking around that coach's box. He might just say, hit that ball if it's in there. Two balls, no strikes. Big Dodger outfielder, Frank Howard. Ford ready now, and here's the 2-0 pitch. Fastball is low, and it's ball three. It's a look once again at Reeser. You're always hitting when you go into that batter's box. They give you a take sign. And here's the 3-0 pitch to Howard. He was swinging. He does. Line drive right center field. Hector Lopez comes in. Can't make the play. It's a base hit. Frank Howard gets the first base hit of the ball game, a single in the right center field on a 3-0 pitch, which pretty much tells you how Walter Alston's going to play this game. He's playing it wide open. He turned his big man loose, 3-0. Scouring the hitter, the pitch by Ford, tap foul, strike one. Joe Pepitone playing behind the base runner at first base. Frank Howard. They don't expect him to run. He's got good speed. Takes those great big strides. He takes two strides and he better turn, because if he takes four, he'll be out of the park. One strike to count on Moose Scarron. Here's the pitch.
swung on and missed. And it's strike two. Scarron steps out of the batter's box now, puts his hands on his hip, and is kind of taking an inventory because he looked like he was completely fooled on the last pitch. He just kind of gave it a feeble flick. Two strikes. Four delivers. Swung on. Looks like a double play. Kubek to Richardson. One out. Over to first it is. They get it. A double play hit into by Moose Scarron from Kubek to Richardson to Pepitone. So it's 1-2-3, although they got one base hit in that inning. And so at the end of two innings, the score, Yankees nothing, Dodgers nothing.
All around contact. 64 style is so fine.